step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Off Stage and On the Air, performance number 752. I am Lisa Sheps. I am joined by nobody in terms of co-hosts. I am here running solo. We're wishing Nicole the best of luck to feel better. You are listening to me on KOOP HD1, HD3 Hornsby, and streaming live at KOOP.org. Remember, if it's theater, it's on offstage and on the air. Don't go away.
Step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world.
I had to fight my daddy, I had to fight my brothers, my cousins, my uncles too. But I never thought I'd have to fight in my own house.
It is Wednesday, December 27th, 2023. On the show today, we have the return of Curtain Call Austin. We're very excited. Later on in the show, we'll be talking to Queen Austin. And of course, we're going to have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, Atlanta, and Paris, Texas. Stick with us. We're going to play this song all the way through. We'll talk to you after the song is done.
I never know, but if a man raise his hand.
Oh my gosh, that was The Color Purple. And the singer, and I can never pronounce her name properly, LeChans or LeChans, I never know which way to do it. Let me introduce the folks that are here with us today, joining us on our little journey through theater in Austin, Texas. Kathy Sheridan is here with us. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Lisa Sheps. Thanks for having me.
It's so good to see you.
Nice to see you too.
It was wonderful when you answered the call, and what a great reason that you're coming here, because of Curtain Call. And new to the show, somebody I have not met before, Brett Backus. Hi, Brett.
Hello, Lisa. How are you?
I mean, you score lots of points just for your name. I mean, come on. It's a great name, Brett Backus. It's alliterative. It's amazing. All right. Is it LeChance or LeChance?
I would say LeChance.
I can't remember. I can never remember. Anyway, that was from The Color Purple, which the new movie was just released. Did either of you see it?
I did not. I was supposed to see it yesterday. And
well, hop on.
No, yeah. I did. Well, I had a friend who came to town. So, yeah.
Was it Santa Claus? He's coming to town.
No.
In only 364 days.
A gal friend.
Okay. Amazing. Well, in my circle, Santa Claus, well, that's a whole nother story. So I was all set to talk about The Color Purple and the movie The Color Purple and talk about the review of The Color Purple. And I was going to talk about Coleman Domingo, and I did all this stuff. But we did all of that last week. So I can't do it again. But I would. I'm assuming that y'all know The Color Purple in one of its iterations.
Yeah.
Book, movie,
have not read
musical.
The book, saw the movie, have seen aspects of the musical, but never the full musical.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, there's two versions of the musical.
Yes.
So again, we talked about this last week. I don't want to go into anything. I've only seen the original musical version. Then they went and cut it down, like took 45 minutes out of it, which I didn't know how they were going to do that because it's such a beautiful piece. Mm-hmm. We've talked about it here on the show. People that have seen it have said it's much better. Brett,
really?
Have you seen The Color Purple?
Only the original movie.
The movie. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, why haven't y'all seen the musical? It's been here. I saw it here.
That's a good question. I don't know why I haven't seen it.
I'm going to blame you.
Like he does with just about everything.
Brett, are you a musical theater person?
Well, I have. I actually do have plenty of musical theater experience. I've played for several shows around town for the last 15 to 20 years, but I'm primarily a classical pianist.
Did you start playing when you were 2 years old?
9 and a half.
9 and a half.
He was a late bloomer.
I meant playing for theater. 15 years ago. That was a kind of a compliment, I think. Well, great. Wonderful. We'll have lots of fun. So let's talk about some of the things that I wanted to talk about here. It just dawned on me that I probably could have played a piece from the... I bet you that the music from this current movie is already out that I could have played, but I didn't think about that, did I? So I played
I bet it is.
The Le Chance version is the latest, the shorter version that just came out. So here's what I want to talk about. The Broadway Green Alliance. Have you ever heard of it?
Don't think so.
No. I had, but, you know, they have a... you know, we're trying to be green, and theater is not the greenest of industries. True. In the world. I know that in my theater, I throw away more stuff than I would like to talk about. I'm going to see why there it is. Broadway Green Alliance. And I just found this interesting. I've always heard about the Broadway Green Alliance, but I went onto the website to look at it to see what it does, and has some wonderful wonderful things and wonderful ways that you can go green. And boy, I'm looking for the here's the other one. I had two Broadway Green Alliances. This is one. So Broadway Green Alliance is an industry-wide initiative that educates, motivates, and inspires the entire theater community and its patrons to implement environmentally friendly practices on Broadway and beyond. I always thought it was really just Broadway and for those companies that have the resources to be able to go green, because it's not cheap to go green. But it's not. It actually has... stuff for theaters the size of mine. It was founded in 2008 along with the National Natural Resources Defense Council, and it is an ad hoc committee of the Broadway League, and it's fiscally sponsored by Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS, which
that's
I think
fabulous.
Is great. Yeah. Mm.
I think there's always something that can, you know, any level theater can do.
That's what they
you
say.
You don't have to be 100%.
Yes.
I mean, anything is going to make a difference, right?
Well, that is interesting you should say that, because in the very first thing they talk about in their about page, their principles are, it says, quote, "It is impossible to be 100% green. We can only be
look at
greener.
Me. Smarty pants.
And each of us can do something."
That's
which
right.
I think is great. The other thing they say, they talk about climate change and what we're doing to change it. And they say climate neutrality is not enough to fix what we've done. We have to be better about going
absolutely.
The other ways. Here are some of the things that they have done, some of the impact they've had. They've changed all the marquee lights on Broadway to LEDs and CFLs. And that is... That's over 100,000 bulbs. Wow. And saves over 800 tons of carbon each year. All the Broadway shows have a green captain, 100%.
Ooh.
And then they have 1,200 green captains across the country. They've kept 19,000 pounds of textiles out of landfills.
Fill.
I cannot. This has been going on all day. And then they had, this is something I find interesting, as someone who's old school, I use paper and binders.
Yeah.
They have a binder exchange because we, you know, a lot of times we throw away the binders. And so they have
really?
Now a binder exchange so you don't have to throw away your binders.
Oh, I recycle mine for sure.
Mm-hmm. And then they've worked with touring productions to have recycling programs at 80% of the theaters. And I just think that's amazing. The other thing they have is, and as you mentioned, Kathy, you can do, you know, every little thing you do can help. Brett, are you very green?
I am very green.
Good. What do you do to be green?
I'm a banana.
That's slippery.
Oh, dear gosh.
Yeah, you've rendered me speechless, which
sorry,
doesn't happen.
That's not easy,
I love
Brett.
That.
Oh, my gosh.
But actually,
it's not easy being green.
If you were green, you'd be a plantain.
Well, this is what it's like having him behind the piano, man.
You
never know what he's going to say.
Anyway, they have a backstage toolkit broken down by area. And under stage management, they say use digital communications and scripts, which is something that I refuse to, as a stage, because that's my background in stage management. I know a lot of people that call shows. Kelsey Moringi, who works with us at Ground Floor Theater, calls her script with an electronic script. I would find that difficult.
I would find that hard.
If not, but I think you and I are of a certain age.
Well, yes.
Yeah. So, but anyway, and they do have programs made specifically for calling shows called StageWrite and Scriptation. I don't know Scriptation, but I do know StageWrite. Also, they suggest using digital call boards, which makes sense.
That makes sense.
Although you're not saving a whole bunch. I mean, a sign-in sheet is one piece of paper. But still, I guess every little piece of paper
One piece counts. Of paper that lasts the entire run of the show.
And they also offer resources where you can they show you how to use a QR code to be your sign-in sheet, for instance.
Okay.
And it says they have a guide called How to Create a Paperless Sign-In Sheet for Theatrical Productions. Obviously, it says encourage people to bring their own food and water bottles. We do that at Ground Floor Theater. Company management, they talk about using digital portals for tickets, but everybody does that. You look like you want to say something.
Well, I was going to say something to Brett. I was going to say, that's kind of an interesting idea. We could actually try that out for Curtain Call. The digital, the sign-in sheet.
Absolutely,
right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm going to check that out.
If you go to offstageonair.com, you will get a link to this website, and you can find it.
No, I like that idea.
So for musicians in the playing area, this is for you, Brett, they suggest using LED lighting on your what are those things called? Music stands.
Mm-hmm.
Recycle instrument strings. I didn't know you could do that. Can you do that?
Well, you would know. You're the string guy.
What do you think, Brett?
Oh, absolutely.
Have you done that?
Yes.
Are you just saying that because you're on the air?
No.
Okay.
No, he's short and sweet. I actually play other string instruments. I play violin, viola, and cello.
Show off.
And
now
piano
you're just
and
showing
harpsichord.
Off.
Just five instruments.
No, I love that. I can play zero. Well, I play the kazoo and the jew's harp.
You sing.
Mm-hmm.
I play the jew's harp and the kazoo.
And you sing.
You sing.
I just love this. There's all these wonderful things that for specific areas. And it's something that I'm going to look into in the future. I know the Ground Floor Theater, we always have a hard time, all of the theaters, when we get to Loadout, there's just so much stuff. And so much of that stuff ends up in the landfill because we can't afford to store it.
Right.
And it breaks our heart to watch it go. We have, oh my gosh, and they're going to kill me because I don't remember the name of the company, but we've now contracted with a company that will come in and take our show's leftovers at the end of a run and reuse and recycle, and they agree to do that. It's part of the agreement. We pay them a little bit more than we would pay someone to haul off junk, and they strip all the wood down and they use it for other things. Yeah,
oh, that'd be great. Yeah, so that would be a name to know.
I will. Nolan Muna is the guy that runs it, but I can't remember the name of his company. I'm sorry, Nolan. But that's an amazing thing, and it breaks my heart the amount of waste we have. And I do have to say that I'd like to figure out how to educate our audiences here at Ground Floor Theater. We have blue recycle bin, which I thought everybody knows what it is, and then a garbage can. But every day, every night after the show, I spend a good portion of my time taking...
Sorting the trash,
going in the trash and taking out. And then people that don't know that things that can't be recycled, like soft plastic and things like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's the Broadway Green Alliance. If you want to get more information, you can go, once I post the show, to offstageonair.com. And click on the link about the Broadway Green Alliance. I think there might have also been an article in the New York Times today which made me think of it. But I could be wrong. Here's something I saw that was interesting. A musical called Charles Bronson, More Than a Vignette, the Musical.
What?
Yep, and now I've got to stall for time while I try to find. There it is, Charles. There it is. And it's got an album that's being recorded right now with Lisa Loeb.
Yeah,
who I love.
She's hysterical.
And Steven Weber. Do you remember Steven Weber?
From Wings.
Wings, yes, thank you.
And wow.
It's so funny. I was just watching Celebrity Jeopardy last night, and Steven Weber was on it, which I thought was interesting. And I find it interesting that, ironically,
yeah.
Whatever, interestingly enough.
Interesting coincidence.
I loved Wings,
I did
show.
Too.
Brett, did you see Wings?
We're that generation again.
We are.
Mm.
Did you see Wings? It's a TV series.
Was I believe so.
A TV series. What I found interesting
Let me
is
look
that
it up just to make sure.
Yeah, please do. That's how he is listed when you know in the article when it said what he's famous for. He's still Wings.
Still,
so that's
yeah.
that's kind of sad. That
he's
had to be
so
40
more,
years ago.
Right?
I know. Mean, I'm sure he has.
Yeah.
Other cast members are Dean Edwards, Eric Peterson, Lauren Elder, Pete Monzingo, there's a name, Max Adler, Whitney Avalon, and Henry Zebrowski. The musical is a lyrical biography of one of the rugged, red-blooded movie stars to ever grace the silver screen.
Screen.
The musical not only defines the man's career, but also explores the emotional journey of his well-worn life.
Well,
when
worn,
I think
yeah.
of Charles Bronson, I don't emotional isn't a word that
right?
comes.
Right? Nor musical?
Yeah, nor musical.
Really?
16 original songs by Henry Brooks. It's being recorded in Los Angeles even as we speak. So that was Charles Bronson. Sounds like something you might want to see.
Yeah,
I'm not sure either.
I'll wait for the movie.
Me too. Did you watch Maestro?
Another thing I was going to watch last night, and then I ended up watching The Christmas Chronicles 2 for some reason.
I don't know.
Christmas I wanted
Chronicles
something a little.
1 is.
Well, I happened to stumble across that yesterday. Wow. So after having my grandkids for Christmas.
Was it on the...
You know,
oh, how great.
Yeah.
You know, I totally didn't even ask how your Christmas was.
Oh, it was nice. It was nice. I had my kids. I had my grandkids at the house.
Lovely.
It was a first.
Lovely.
Yeah.
So anyways, Maestro, I was not crazy about it so much so that I could not watch the whole thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
And I've heard some people like it, some people
don't.
Yeah,
I've heard it like one extreme or the other.
But Maestro is all about, Leonard Bernstein.
Yeah.
I saw it last night.
Oh.
And what'd you think?
I actually liked it. There was a lot of smoking in the movie, but
yes, there
other
was.
Than that.
Well, he was a big smoker, for sure.
He was a big smoker. Hey, I want to just take a moment to recognize we have our another guest that's joined us, Queen Austin. Hey, Queen, how are you?
I am grateful.
You?
I'm grateful. I'm just now getting here, so I'm registering.
It's
everything.
Okay. You're good. You're good. We weren't expecting you. You're
we're
early.
Just throwing you in there.
Yes. You're good. So we're just sitting talking about theater. Feel free to join in if you want. So yeah, so Maestro, it's got obviously a big connection to theater as he wrote several shows that performed on Broadway. Mm-hmm. West Side Story being one. Mm-hmm. Jinx, You Owe Me a Coke. With the incomparable Esteban Sondheim,
I did see his new show in New York.
Oh, you
his
did?
Latest,
I've
yeah,
heard.
Here we are.
I've heard.
Loved every second.
Did you? Okay, I believe you're in the minority.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
I think you are.
No.
Well,
I beg to differ.
Okay, good. good. So tell us about it.
It was fascinating. Yes, you could recognize some of the music from other shows, a little bit, but I love the story. The performances were just mind-blowing. Loved it. Loved every second. Didn't mind that the second act didn't have as much music. It kind of fit in with the story.
Yep.
So I loved it. I saw no wrong. But I can hardly see wrong with Stephen. Just saying. You know?
Well, I like Stephen Sondheim as well. I do not think that I personally am not one that says all Stephen all the time.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, since I engineer my own show, I have to tell Queen things right here on the air. No drinking anything in the studio.
Oh,
so
okay.
There you go. I will get in trouble. So But that's great. I'm glad that you liked it.
Yeah.
So I will wait till it goes to video.
Okay.
And I will. And I'd like to thank Brett for being our doorman today. That should be our last door person.
Yes.
That has come in. He's let the incomparable Robert Sims in, who's joining us after this show. And lovers of our show know Robert Sims because he used to join us as an apprentice years and years ago. All right. Last thing I think we're going to talk about before we take a little break is The Gilded Age. Anybody watch that TV series?
No.
Hmm. No.
And I looked up anybody? Wings. I never...
Where can I view this?
The Gilded Age, I believe, is on Apple TV Plus.
Okay, Apple TV.
And it stars Christine Baranski and Cynthia Nixon. And it takes place in the, I think, before the turn of the century, around 1890 in New York. And these big, the big, what are they called? Mansions that are on like 61st. The protagonists, or the two protagonists, or antagonists, live on 61st and 5th Avenue, which all those old mansions are now museums. Mm-hmm. Now, but this, the Gilded Age, this season, it just picked up its third season, but this was just finished the second season, and they talked about the, it has a lot of historical facts and air quotes about the battle between new money and old money, and Mrs. Astor and new money. Mrs. Astor represents old money, then there's new money, and Carrie Coon is in it, and she plays the new money person that is behind the Metropolitan, this new upstart opera company called the Metropolitan Opera, that was, which was the stalwart of opera was the Music Guild, or something Guild. People will tell me that I'm wrong. I can't, think of what it was. But at the time, so this article in the New York Times talked about that time period and where theater was, and all theater and everything was right around Union Square.
Right.
Back in the day.
Right.
And which makes a lot of sense, because I don't know if anybody remembers Lou Chow's, the restaurant on 14th Street.
Mm-mm.
Lou Chow's is a big 14th Street. Not Hello Dolly. Yes, Hello Dolly. The restaurant in Hello Dolly is Lou Chow's.
Oh, okay.
But that was that when I moved to New York in 1977 and lived on 14th Street, Lou Chow's was right down the street. It was still there. Not quite its elegant that it was. But everything was around Union Square. And then they pushed things north as we got electricity and that subway was built and things come up north. And the Metropolitan Opera was on 1411 Broadway, which is below Times Square. So I want to say it's probably around 38th or 39th, if I'm remembering. But it sounds interesting that everything moves up.
Right.
And then the theater community, very much like it is today, I didn't realize, moved up to what we now know as Broadway because it was cheap. And the landlords, and so they moved up there. And as we see, as it always has, as it did in Soho, as it's happening here on the east side of Austin, the creative class moves in because that's all they can afford.
Yeah.
And then everybody else follows. And so I just found that interesting. So this is a really interesting article called How the Gilded Age is Showing the Creation of Broadway's Theater District. It's not on New York Times. It's playbill.com. This is an article by Margaret Hall. And you can get a link to it. Well worth reading.
Sounds fascinating.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to take a little break. And, I do need to talk about one thing because it goes into the piece of music we're going to play. And I can't go into it because we're running late. If we have time at the end of the show, I will. There is an article, and I do believe that this is the New York Times, called Artists We Lost. And it just went through a whole bunch of artists, and then it has quotes in their own words. And the one I was going to highlight was Tina Turner, because it's Tina Turner.
The best, simply the best.
Simply the best. And Tina, the Tina Turner musical, is coming here in just a couple of weeks.
Oh, really?
She said, "I never considered giving up on my dreams. You could say I had an invincible optimism." So
I love that.
Let's listen to Private Dancer. from Tina, the Tina Turner musical, sung by Adrian Warren. We'll be right back.
Wow.
I'm your bride dancer.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps flying solo here today. We've just had a great conversation with Kathy Sheridan, Brett Bacchus, and Queen Austin. And now we're going to switch gears. We're going to talk about why Kathy and Brett came here, and that is Curtain Call. So I just want to reintroduce Kathy Sheridan. Welcome back.
Hi, Lisa.
And Brett Bacchus.
Hi, Lisa.
Is it Bacchus or Bacchus?
It's Bacchus.
Bacchus. I said it right. It's not Frontis.
No, nope, it's Bacchus.
It's Bacchus.
Sidus,
whatever.
I'll answer to anything.
So, Curtain Call has come back. I was so excited to see that on Facebook. We have not talked about Curtain Call for a long time because it hasn't been here. But once upon a time, we had Curtain Call on the show quite a bit. Kathy, you've been with Curtain Call from the beginning,
not
I think.
Not quite. Close. But so, no, this was the
Tell
break.
People what it is.
Curtain Call is Austin's premiere. It was the first open mic for strictly designed for musical theater performers. Just an event, once a month event that allows people to come and either work on songs that they're, you know, currently working on for themselves, or even to promote a show that they're in, or just to sing a song that they would never get to sing anywhere else, you know, against type
like
or whatever.
Broadway backwards or something like that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, it was the brainchild of Robert Joseph Cross.
Yes.
And that was in December of 2009. I started coming as a singer in probably January of 2010, so I missed the first month.
And Dustin Struhal.
Dustin L. Struhal was the first pianist.
He was behind the band. Yeah. And I don't know whether Stuart Moulton was involved with Curtain Call or not.
No, he wasn't, but he has his company, Austin Cabaret Theater.
He does.
Yeah. We just saw We saw the great Liz Calloway, her show.
Yep.
Yeah, that
Liz,
was fabulous.
Liz, I believe, was on this show once upon a time. And of course, Stuart Moulton is my original co-host here on Offstage and On the Air, and was partner in my first theater group. So I'm just curious. I know you and I talked about Curtain Call not all that long ago when there was another group of people doing a similar thing, and you were like, but you decided to bring it back. How did that happen?
Well, we've always wanted to bring it back. Mm-hmm. We never wanted to take a hiatus. But when...
about a biatus?
Well, yeah.
Sorry.
That works too. Hiatus.
You can take the dad out of the girl, but you can't take the dad jokes out of the girl.
Yeah, I don't have a dad bod. I have a father figure.
Oh, that's good. I love
that's
that.
Hysterical.
That's a nice one.
Yeah. It's hopped around to different locations, and our last location was Brass House.
Yep.
And when they were unable to, stay open with all the construction that was going on at the time, this was 2016.
And they were very generous and such supporters of the community.
Amazing supporters of anything creative in this town. They were fabulous. Jason White, great guy. But when they weren't able to keep their doors open, we started, immediately looking. But we had prerequisites that we really needed to have. A real piano. That was our dream. We would we would do a keyboard, but we really wanted a real piano.
You wanted a piano.
We wanted, I'm going to say it, alcohol. People like to drink when
you
they come
say
to
that.
Sing, right?
Food.
And then somewhere decent to park, not have to, pay an exorbitant amount to park or have to walk miles to get to where you're going.
And where did you land?
Well, that was the thing. We couldn't really find anything at that time. Mm-hmm. And then the pandemic hit not long after
I'm unaware. What's that?
That thing where everybody had to stay home for a long time.
Yep.
Yeah. So that kind of put a damper on things. Mm-hmm. And our search was difficult. I actually found a location in Round Rock.
Oh.
That I was... Yep, exactly.
Yep.
Oof. Wasn't sure if people would come out.
Yeah, I think that's a valid
There was another
concern.
Place in Northwest Austin. We even had multiple talks with Parker Jazz House. Was really hoping to go in there. But at that time, they weren't ready to, go outside of the jazz world quite yet. So,
although
Adam Roberts
has got his
and
thing
good
there.
Job for Adam. Mm-hmm. That's the more we can get musical theater out there in those places for people who may not normally go see a show. But there's great music and great performers in town.
Don't keep me in suspense, Kathy Sheridan. Where did you land?
Well, we're going to make that announcement coming up.
Oh, my gosh.
I can tease you.
Okay, please.
I can tease you.
Everybody does.
Okay, first of all, like I said, alcohol, right? So that's a prerequisite.
Okay.
Centrally located.
Centrally located. Yeah. So people north and south don't feel like they're driving for miles, right?
Stage area.
Okay, well, I had four. He had more. But, so this new location has a beer and wine only license, I guess you would call that.
Okay.
So no booze. So then Kathy's got to figure out, what does she do?
Okay, so do you have to be crafty about this?
I don't know. Have to be.
Okay, so but, there went that guess.
Yeah.
Crafty beer.
Let's just say that I think people will be. Mm. I think they'll be excited. There is food. There is beer and wine. We're going to have drinks like the Cole Porter.
Oh, lovely.
Drinks like a Sweet Charity.
Lovely.
And any other kind of fun names that Lisa's going to make up for us.
I've got.
Going to help
of them.
Us. I know you do.
Okay. Food is going to have different names as
food's
well.
Food's going to have some different names. So yes, there will be food.
Are the tables made out of wood? Like cherry wood.
There might be wood. There might be
They're
wood
not made
involved.
Out of cherry wood. Mm. All right, there went guest number two. So, Brett, tell us, I'm guessing you are playing the keyboards.
Yes.
And are you also part of the mastermind to get this back together?
I don't know how about the master part,
but there's a mind involved.
There's a mind involved.
So basically, the performers hand me their sheet music.
Yes.
And hopefully they tell me a tempo and any...
Hint, hint.
Any indications of repeats or da capos or, you know,
those
that sort of thing.
Man.
Those da capos, they always get in the way.
Uh-huh. Every time.
It's the dalsenos that get me. Because I have to
Don't
find
I know
them.
It.
And they're always written above the vocal parts. And they're never where I can see that. If it's a photocopied music, which is illegal and should not be done.
So are you playing? You're playing the piano, but do you also join in on the fun? Is there going to be a vocal mic there for you to talk so that Kathy, you emceeing?
It can be dangerous to give him a mic.
It's probably not a good idea to put a microphone in.
But
front of
he likes to jump up from behind the keys for sure.
So how did you get involved? How did Kathy? I'm assuming you found Brett.
Actually, no. Bob did. He was a friend of Bob Cross's.
Okay.
So
is Bob still around? I have not seen
Bob
him
Bob is
years.
Still around, and he's very excited that we're bringing it back. Yeah.
And Bob actually lives two blocks from me.
Well, yeah. There you go. What's his address? My listeners want to know.
So, yeah, they go back a long time. And Brett and I didn't realize that we actually go back longer than we actually knew.
Mm-hmm.
Because of Forbidden Broadway.
Yeah, because yes. I did a production of Forbidden Broadway. I say it was 92 into 93. He says 93 into 94. Okay. But I think I might remember. Anyway,
potato.
I got the magnet. Anyway, evidently he came to every single production, mm-hmm. but I didn't know it.
So, all right. So we figured out that you're not going to tell us where it is.
Right.
We know. I now know it's not in two specific places that I was thinking of. But can you tell us when we might expect to? When is your premiere performance?
Sure, we officially come back January 15th. It's a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Our normal shows will be the first Monday of every month.
Great,
but for January, that's January 1st. And whereas I would have loved to have done it on January 1st, the venue will not be open.
Got it.
So what we're thinking is that we might actually do something at my home now that the kitchen's been remodeled.
Lovely.
And actually do maybe a Facebook Live and do a little soiree and make our announcement there.
Oh, well, that would be fun.
I don't know if there's any interest in that kind of stuff.
Brett really
He's
wants
dying
to say something.
To say something, isn't he? Go ahead, dear. That are thing we, in front of you, microphone. Not, speak
are we
it.
Only doing this once a month?
Yes, dear. That yeah. To start with, there may be we may get to twice a month.
Well,
but yeah,
that is great.
I don't want to dilute the audience.
So where will folks go to find out? Is it the Facebook page or do you have a website?
Yeah, we've got a great Facebook page where we're currently just kind of reliving some of the great moments.
I've been seeing
the singers and yeah, it's been fun to walk down memory lane.
Okay. But that's where folks should check in to see updates, to get actual dates. But you do have the date, which is January 15th. And place to be determined.
Place to be announced.
Well, that is great. Anything else you want to say before we go on to the next thing?
Here's another clue you could give her.
What would that be?
Sponsor?
Well,
it's okay. We like to be surprised here at Offstage and on the air. That's amazing. I am so happy that you are coming back. Brett, I'm so happy you're involved with it. I can't wait to come in and do a song.
Yay.
Yeah, that'll never happen.
Did you do anything when we were at the Brass House?
No, I would come and see. I was a dutiful person that watched.
I was playing the piano.
Oh, then I saw you there.
Yeah.
I saw you there. We have met. Yep, then we have. I would be the last time I saw it, because that's the last time y'all were there. But I came to the Brass House quite often. Well, thank y'all for coming on.
Thank you for having us.
Best of luck with this. I cannot wait for the announcement. I can't wait to come see it. Unfortunately, on the 15th of January, I might be able to. I start rehearsal for my next show on the 16th.
I saw your final or your previous show,
mm-hmm.
Jack and Aiden,
which I'm just getting ready to talk about. So stick around. We're gonna hopefully we're gonna talk about it. We'll have a little bit of time. So anyway, we're gonna take a little break. Curtain Call will happen on January 15th. Check their Facebook page to figure out where it will happen. And we're really happy to have it back. If you have the desire to sing show tunes or anything else, you're gonna want to look up Curtain Call once it does. And if you search Curtain Call Austin on Facebook, you'll find it.
And Instagram.
I don't do Instagram, so that's how I didn't find it. So same thing, Curtain Call Austin.
Well, the kids nowadays.
So I was trying to think about what kind of music to play for this. If you do a search for Curtain Call, you get a lot of Curtain Calls. But I decided to take the mother of all Curtain Calls, which was... if you're familiar with the Mega Mix from Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, this is the first I was involved with the production company at the time. They created the Mega Mix, which is a 10-minute curtain call where they go and reprise every single song. They did it because when they moved from off-Broadway to Broadway, they needed to add more time. So that's what it did. So let's play. And now everybody does a Mega Mix, or many people do Mega Mixes. Here's Joseph's Mega Mix. We'll be right back. And we are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps. And I have a crew here, including Kathy Sheridan, Breck Backus, and Queen Austin. We just have a few seconds to talk about local stuff. But I wanted to talk about, as a programmer here on Co-op Radio, I'm not allowed to really promote my own stuff too much. But since the show is over, I'm going to take a little moment to talk about Jack and Aiden. But before I do, I must say that the views expressed here on Offstage and On the Air are not necessarily those of Co-op Radio, its board of directors, its underwriters, or staff. It's just my crazy ideas. So Jack and Aiden was a brand new commissioned musical that we played at Ground Floor Theater, about two men who met on the dating apps. One was trans and one was cis. It was an amazing piece, and I'm just a little disappointed that not enough people saw it. But Kathy, you saw it.
I did it.
Wait, hold on. I'm going to turn your microphone on. Go.
Oops, I saw it opening night.
It was a good show.
I absolutely loved it. The story was so well told. Well, first, so well written. The music was beautiful. Just everything about it. The chemistry was there. The performances were strong. And a story that needs to be told.
Right. And it's
and told well.
Yeah. And I think it did. I was very, very proud of the piece. I don't do a lot of, we do a lot of shows at Ground Floor Theater. I never come back and talk about them after the fact when I'm technically allowed to. But what sort of upset me, this is an important piece for a lot of reasons. First of all, I think it was good artistically. Mm-hmm. Of course, I'm biased, but that's what I think. Also, from a representation standpoint, it's really, really important. You saw trans people in their whole gutted self, and you just don't see that very often in stories. And
correct,
we had a lot of comments that said I was the first time I saw myself on stage. So
that's powerful.
Yeah, to see a trans man there, it just laid out bare, pretty amazing. But so thank you for seeing it. Oh, absolutely. So what I was saying, we were having trouble getting audiences, and the word of mouth was good. Our reviews were good. Everything was good. Our marketing was good. And nobody came to see it. And it was just very, I got very discouraged about theater in Austin when you can do the shows that everybody knows and loves that we've done, Fun Home, Next to Normal, and In the Tropics. These were all shows that everybody came to. They sold out. Shows that you were in, Unexpected Joy, didn't do great. And then
I don't think it was me, but
it wasn't. I'm finding about the it's about audiences here in Austin. They need to know before they go what it's going to be. And then there was the outlier. There was Dot by Coleman Domingo, directed by Lisa B. Thompson. And that we sold out. And I couldn't figure out why, because it wasn't very well known. Well, number one is Lisa B. Thompson. But number two, one of Simone Alexander at our theater said, you know, black people come out.
Yes.
And they do. The black population came out to see that show. And it doesn't happen in the queer community. It doesn't seem to happen in any of the other communities. So this is my challenge to you, Austin theater people. Go see shows that maybe you aren't aware of. Go take a chance. That's what I'd like to say.
I agree.
Okay. I agree.
Here's the other local things I want to talk about is the Vortex has something that's interesting called Theli Magic. I don't really know how to pronounce it. And it is a cosmic journey at the Amazing Vortex. We find ourselves in an enchanting crossroads between drag and burlesque, where the extraordinary meets the sublime. Looks like a lot of fun with magic, burlesque. It happens on July 5th. You can get more information at vortexrep.org.
That sounds like fun.
It does sound like fun. And finally, let's just go through what's playing. Not much is playing. It's actually just everything is wrapping up. The Muttcracker, sweet, is playing for another few days, as is Murder on the Links at Austin Playhouse all through the 30th of this month. Christmas Carol and Pop over at Zach are all playing till the 31st. And that is it, folks. It's pretty slow. So let's go to today in theater history. Y'all ready?
Yeah.
I'm excited.
It's mostly birthdays because not a lot of happens right now. But the birthdays are Marion Elliott, Tova Feltsche, Joe Mantello, Marlena Dietrich,
ooh, darling.
Elizabeth Rodriguez, and Oscar Levant. Those are the... so my phone is on. That was it. Shows that opened, 1927, Showboat.
Ooh.
Marat Saad opened in 1965. Home of the Brave, you know that one, played at the Belasco Theater in 1945. And Subways Are for Sleeping opened in 1961. Mm. Subways Are for Sleeping is very interesting. It is a musical with Comden and Green. Did the book and the lyrics. Music was by Julie Stein. Produced by David Merrick.
Ah.
Boo hiss David Merrick. But it was inspired about an article about homeless people living in the subway in a 1956 issue of Harper's Bazaar.
Interesting.
And this is, we've talked about this on the show before. We talk about David Merrick and his not so great ways of doing things as a marketer. But it did not get good reviews. So he hired a bunch of people with the same name as the critics to come in and see the show and make a quote that put on the board. Anyway, we don't have a lot of time to get into it.
That's a brilliant idea. I'm going to write that one down.
But this is actually good for the season. This is called Be a Santa from Subways Are for Sleeping. We'll be right back. She walks into the... All right, I'm just going to turn that off. You did not hear Be a Santa, because evidently I forgot to put it on the USB drive. Let's turn our attentions to Queen Austin. Queen, hi. Welcome to Offstage and on the Air.
Yes, thank you for having me.
You've not been on this show before.
No, actually this is probably one of my first...
radio shows?
Yeah.
Okay, well, good.
First of many, hopefully.
We're happy to have you here because you are a force to be reckoned with.
Yes.
I met you during the pandemic when we did a program called Trans Lives, Trans Voices.
Yes.
Where we did stories by trans people in their own words and their voices, and you were one of our Our storytellers.
Yes. And I want to say that that whole experience was wonderful. I want to say thank you and you and your team for putting together a masterpiece. I find myself at least once a month or multiple times a month watching that interview.
Oh, great.
And it was basically very important for me, especially what was, where was I at? Well,
no, we know what you're saying.
Okay. Especially where I was at in life, and I can reflect and look on that. I just want to say thank you.
Yeah.
And it was wonderful. So
you're welcome. Yeah. So people can see those. They are still available on the Ground Floor Theater YouTube page, Ground Floor YouTube/Ground Floor Theater, I think.
Yes.
But there we had, I think, like 30 trans people that came. Mm-hmm. And when we sat down and talked, we basically turned the cameras on. We chatted for a little bit before.
Yes.
But everything you said was from the heart.
Yes.
And the we had original music by Rocky Lane. Mm-hmm. Tell us how that experience, I mean, you've said it was meaningful, but how was the experience for you? Were you nervous?
Most definitely not really nervous I'm nervous now, to be honest with you.
But don't be nervous. You're amongst friends.
The experience was not nervous, as I'm very comfortable and open up in front of cameras. And so that experience really just gave me a little bit more of a gravitate and touch on where I'm going to aim myself and place myself at now. So that interview really was like a big shift and turnaround in my life for me. And it means a lot. It really means a lot. If you guys can ever get a chance, go look it up. It's on YouTube, Queen Austin Ground Floor Theater. And yeah,
you'll find it. Now at the time you were just starting out, work on a LGBTQ center, were you not?
Yes.
How's that going? Is that still moving forward?
Well, yes, and it's slowly for surely. Mm-hmm. But back in 2020, I founded Austin Queer Culture Center, and my goal and dream is to be having a place, a safe place for us here in Austin. There's other organizations and places, but not accessible for trans or queer people or people of color, just simply because of my personal experience, where I'm coming from and where I came from. And just to be back in Austin to be able to create a platform and a safe place and a haven for us, mm-hmm, is wonderful. It's we're working on our third year, but hopefully in the years to come, I will be able to get the right funding and open up a space and a place for us.
That would be amazing. Do you have, we talked a little bit before online. Do you have any kind of theatrical background? You're not really a theater person, are you?
Yes.
Oh, never mind. Like I said, you have a theatrical background, don't you?
So, high school, I got into theater like when I was in sixth grade. And it's something that stuck with me. I really liked and I gravitated and I loved. I did theater in high school. And so like from high school, I just always found myself on the stage. Like either if I was hosting or emceeing. I went to college, to Blaine College, and I was a part of their theater club there.
Right.
And I host a lot of events there. So it's been a while, but I'm open to get back out there. And if I'm able to surround myself and make it to some of you guys' events and stuff, and just get back out there.
We'd love to have you.
Yeah. Do you sing?
I can carry you.
We'll get you out there in curtain call. You and I can do a duet.
There you go.
Okay.
We're going to have to do it as last number because nobody's going to stay. Lots of ears.
We'll do a curtain call after hours.
A curtain call.
Hey.
Yeah, there you go.
Like that?
So what do you have? We at Offstage and On the Air tend to like musicals. Do you like musicals?
Yes.
Do you have a favorite one?
So, I'm a late bloomer. Especially when it comes like to theater and black folks, black people, we really don't have that at the time growing up, we didn't have that
for us.
And mm-hmm. So what really got me into musicals and me understanding, I was about 17 years ago with Dreamgirls.
Yeah. Big time. That was a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. So Dreamgirls really just set a foundation and everything. And at the time when I was watching the Dreamgirls that was released 17 years ago, I was not aware of the original Dreamgirls.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Okay. Well, that is amazing. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. we're plumb out of time, but I'm yes. so glad you came on the show.
Thank you all.
And do you have a, how can folks get more information about you?
You can add my YouTube. My YouTube channel is Headquarters Music Management.
Headquarters and, Music Management.
Yeah.
Great. And,
yeah.
Well, we'll put a link to that on Thank the you. Show notes at offstageonair.com. Mm. And is there a website for the Cultural Resource Center?
Yes, austincareercultureCenter.com.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, Queen. Yes. It's so good to see you. I haven't seen you in 2 years.
I
you
know.
You look marvelous.
Thank you.
I only wish the camera was up so we could see your marvelousness.
I appreciate it.
Well, and so we're going to take a little break, and we're going to come right back and say goodbye. And this is from the Donna Summer musical,
Ooh.
The Queen is Back.
Ooh.
She walks into the room.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps running solo today. We had such a good show. We really just have time to say goodbye. And the one thing I didn't get a chance to talk about that I was hoping that I would get a chance to talk about, because we played it every week for the past 3 weeks, is a song from Well Behaved Women, which is an album that's out focusing on famous women around the world and around time, sung by Broadway people. So we're going to go out with The Only Girl at the Table. This is a song about Mary Magdalene, and it's a pretty amazing song. It's a little country, but you don't hear that much here. Thank you all for all coming on the show, Queen, Brett, Kathy. Yes. We're going to stand by for the Austin Cooperative Radio Hour next, and we've got Lights, Camera, Austin with Robert Sims sitting here. And so we will talk to all of you in 2024 when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. Bye.
When you're the only girl at the table, you have to pray to God you'll make it through. While you roll your eyes inside, throw your arms up to the sky.